keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Well, what is up, wet and windy Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined by Anya Ester in the booth. What else should you be doing? It's disgusting out. Just turn on the radio, turn on the tube. By that, I mean YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, a.k.a. X, where you can always watch us streaming live. Today, I'm all of my facial scars from years of rugby are visible on the U of the tube, if you want to check it out, or Facebook or Twitter, because we got the bright fluorescence on. Listen, today is Pi Day, which got me thinking. Pie, cake, can you have your cake and eat it too, is the question of the day. And I'm going to talk about it in the context of Milwaukee pensions, both county and city. If you have had questions about why the city and county's pensions in the past, things are much better now, have been so screwed up, about the pension scandal that erupted in the early 2000s with Milwaukee County, I'm here to answer all of those questions. And all of this is but prelude to this upcoming spring election, because it all matters. I'm going to tie it together for you before we get out of this show. But I want it. Most people just have this, oh my gosh, those government employees and their rich pension benefits, this really sort of sour feeling about it. And I think some of that is merited towards a very small subset. Well, maybe not very small, but some subset of employees. But I'm going to hopefully evolve our thinking about this, Anya, so that we can get to a place where we understand it better. We understand why this spring election is so very important, and really start to understand in a different way why technical experts within state government and especially local government are so incredibly important. I'm hoping to be joined by current County Board Supervisor Juan Miguel Martinez. He is currently in the Milwaukee County Finance Committee meeting talking about, you know, speaking of experts, sitting there going through hour after hour of issues before the Finance Committee. And also, I know that I will be joined by judicial candidate Rochelle Johnson Bent before our show is over today. So keep it strapped in, everybody. It's going to be wild. A couple other programming notes. Tomorrow's going to be Flashback Friday on the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to have props. You're not going to want to miss watching us on video. Props from the early 2000s. That's the only hint I will give you. We're also going to listen to a flashback clip of yours truly, Maggie Dawn, on Fox News. I don't mean local Fox News. I mean Fox News, national Fox News with like 18 million viewers. I made an appearance on Fox News a number of years ago. We're going to share that with you tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. I will also be joined by guest attorney Emil Obi-Vigale. I'm going to have Emil make sure I get that pronunciation exactly right. We're going to talk about licensures and the local boards that oversee them and some of his experience and perceptions. So if you're a small business owner, get your questions ready for attorney Emil. If you have questions, comments, thoughts that you want to express about public sector pensions or pensions in general, I am here for you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm here to answer those questions, and I want to walk us through sort of how did we get to this place. And again, all of this is going to tie up. My promise to you, before the show is out, I'm going to tie this up to this current spring election, April 2nd, coming up in just a couple weeks. That's the plan for today. Let's get busy, Wisconsin. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. The reason that this came to mind is not just because it's Pi Day, and because I think the perception is for many that you want to have your cake, these public employees want to have their cake and eat it too, which just incidentally, I had to take a moment and be like, what exactly does that mean? We kind of, you want it both ways. But the literal idea is once you eat the cake, there's no more cake. So you can no longer possess that which you've consumed. That is the origin. Jonathan Swift, 1700s. You know, little literature arcana. But the reason that this came to top of mind is that Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just yesterday published a story. I brought it with me if you're watching. Retired Milwaukee County psychiatrist got a lump sum payment of $2.5 million from a public pension fund. So I wanted to start there. Like, as an objective point, no public employee should ever be walking away with a seven-figure check when they retire. It's stupid. Anything that anybody would do to pension benefits or pension programs, whether public or private sector, where somebody's getting a golden parachute of this size just doesn't make any sense, especially when you're supposed to be a public servant, not public top one percenter, not public money bags. It just doesn't, it doesn't square. So I wanted, and again, the city and the county's pensions are separate. They're two different pension plans, and it's unique in the state of Wisconsin because all other public employees, other than city and county folks, are in the state of Wisconsin's pension fund, which has less rich benefits and is one of basically only two or three state pension funds nationally that is fully funded, meaning they have assets that exceed their liabilities. Okay? And what are the liabilities of a pension fund? How do you calculate them? It's all very actuarially complicated, but basically it's like, what is the cash that you need to pay current retirees? And how much money do you think you will need, and they calculate all of this out, to pay all future retirees within the system? That's how you get to, like, what's the total amount of money that the pension needs. And if you don't have that amount of money in investments and cash, you're considered underfunded. So I want to talk narrowly about the Milwaukee County pension for a minute. And how did we get here? And the very short and succinct answer to that is, we got here because former county executive Tom Ament and a bunch of folks at the county decided, oh, the county pension looks like it's overfunded, meaning assets in excess of liabilities. Let's give out some pension treats. Okay, pension treats, pension cake and eat it too, if you will, okay? And what was this? This is called pension spiking, by the way. And that literally refers to a spiking, an increase of benefits that were not previously guaranteed. So generally speaking, and there's lots of folks out there that get pensions. It's less and less common in the private sector, but many private sector employees still have pensions. Lots of the large automakers still have pensions. Like, it exists. It's less now because unions are less in general. But the basic calculation for an individual's pension is you take the number of years of service times basically your final average salary, which can be based on 2 years or 3 years or 10 years, times what's called a multiplier. And it's some fraction less than one. And you multiply that together, years of service times basically an average salary number. So say it's $100,000 a year times some fraction less than one. And that pops out effectively your annual pension. Okay? So what's pension spiking? Well, pension spiking can occur in a whole bunch of different ways. But in short, you've got those three inputs into your pension determination, right? Years of service times final average salary, times this thing called a multiplier, but some fraction. Well, you get more money if the fraction goes up. So that's one way to spike. The other way to spike is to effectively allow people to buy years of service, right? So if your years of service go up, your annual pension is going to go up. And if you can buy a lot of years of service, your pension is going to go way up. The last thing that you can do that doesn't appear in that equation is that effectively you can pay people bonuses if they work past their retirement eligibility date. Okay? And I know this stuff is technical, but I promise you I'm going to bring it around to what I think are the two of the most important local elections in the last 20 years. And even if you're not from southeastern Wisconsin, these kinds of elections in your jurisdictions matter, and they matter a lot. Because when these elections put in place people who are bad at their jobs and do not understand that they are stewards of the taxpayer dollar, bad things like the county's pension problem and some of the city's pension challenges, these things can result. Because, again, these technical experts actually have to be competent, and they have to understand that they owe a higher duty. It's not to be yes men or women to elected officials or do what's easy or say what people want them to say. It's to do what's right, and oftentimes that puts you in political harm's way, puts you that target right on your back. Because politicians will want to do this, that, or other thing for some kind of constituency, and in the county, it was county employees. Big old union, lots of power. Oh, well, we're overfunded. Well, maybe you are at the moment, but if the market takes a dip, maybe you won't be overfunded anymore, you dip. And they spiked the pension. The county did it in two ways. They did it by allowing people to buy years of service, and they did it by effectively creating these massive bonuses that the biggest one on record just got paid out, $2.5 million, if people work beyond their retirement date. I'm going to explain more about how we get here. But if you put dips in these technical roles, or incompetent people or competent folks without a backbone, unwilling to tell politicians and interest groups no, bad things happen. It matters. It matters a lot. I'm going to continue to break it down here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere, because why would you? It is crappy outside. You're on the Civic Media Radio Network. Call us with your pension thoughts, reflections, or questions. 855-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
May the last one burn into flames.
Pie Day, which made me think of cake, which made me think of you can't have your cake and eat it too, except if you were around when Tom Amon was Milwaukee County executive and decided to spike the heck out of Milwaukee County's pension, effectively letting public employees buy additional years of service, which juices their pension up, or enticing them to work beyond their retirement date, basically by promising them an enormous bonus, the largest one in the history of Milwaukee County, just paid out $2.5 million. Public servant and a $2.5 million retirement payout do not coexist together. They don't. No reasonable person can argue otherwise. Now, here's the thing. I do not blame or hold responsible or accountable the individual employees that get these benefits. Now, it is true, they could waive the benefit. But most of these folks aren't trust funders, right? They're people like me and you that went to work for a really long time and served the public in some way. And these benefits were effectively promised to them. They become property rights in a pension. It's called vesting. Once you vest in a pension, which typically is triggered by some fairly lengthy time of service, 5 years, 8 years, once those benefits vest, those benefits that are promised, that calculated benefit, including a bonus payment in the case of some Milwaukee County employees, that's your property, and nobody can take it from you without your consent. But how did we get here? We got here because politicians wanted to appease a very strong union. They wanted to buy affection of their constituents and their employees. And the only reason this was able to occur is because the professionals that were hired, some public servants, some outside professionals, failed to do their job. So the office that I used to occupy and lead is the Office of Corporation Counsel. It's the general counsel's office for Milwaukee County. That office failed to raise their hand and say, wait, this is pension spiking. You don't do this because you don't know how much any of this is actually going to cost, or we don't have good estimates, because what happens if the market takes a huge dip, which occurred in 2008? We just came through that. Thanks to Joe Biden, we're now on the upswing. But when that happens, pension funds lose money because typically they're more or less kind of conservatively invested, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get into investment management because then everybody will stop listening. But you don't spike pensions. The lawyers should have known better. They should have raised their hand and said no. And if you do this, I'm going to sound the alarm and I'm going to speak publicly about it. Those sorts of professionals have to be able to have the backbone to stand up and say no. And it comes so far, an attorney's duty, that you would actually resign your job, basically in protest. Now, we may be talking about pensions here and the county, but let me tell you this. It is my belief, and it is the duty, the standard that I think all, especially technical experts like lawyers and financial types that work at all levels of government, that when you see a politician or an elected official like the last president doing things that violate the Constitution, the oaths that we take, or what is our professional standard of care, it is incumbent upon us as experts and technicians in those fields to object, to tell the client or the elected official they're screwing up. You do that privately first. Then you do it publicly. Then you do it in writing. Then you do it in writing more broadly. Then you call the press. You escalate and escalate and escalate. And if they insist upon doing it, you resign your job in protest. That, my friends, is the standard of care, the duty that attaches to every single public servant. That you would resign your job in protest rather than be party to sit silently by while pension spiking happens at Milwaukee County, or when a president attempts to gut the Constitution and establish an authoritarian regime. It's all of a whole. And when little failings happen at the local level, it portends all kinds of mischief at higher levels of government. And I'm not saying that you can't make a mistake as a public servant. We all make mistakes. I've made them. But when you know, or you should know, and you fail to act to stop the bad thing from happening, that blame, that accountability is yours as well as the bad actors. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's why when people talk about a former Attorney General Bill Barr, oh, well, he finally came around and said Trump's bad news. Too little, too late. You are a co-conspirator. There were attorneys in my office in Milwaukee County that knew that the pension spiking was happening and did nothing. Might it be because they themselves were going to reap the benefits of the pension spiking? Then that additionally is a conflict of interest, which you should disclose and then say, I have a financial interest here. That didn't happen. And it's not just the lawyers. It's the financial experts, the budget experts. There were reams of people at Milwaukee County in just the right place to object. And in fact, during a pension board meeting, a county employee lied to the pension board and said, oh, our actuary analyzed these pension spiking benefits and we're fine. And the actuary was sitting in the room, heard the lie. Now, this isn't a county employee. This was an outside professional actuary. Mercer was the actuarial company. This guy heard the lie. Now, his duty as a fiduciary to the pension plan was to raise his hand and say, no, we didn't do any analysis. What is the, you're making stuff up. But he sat there. And when he got home, he had a, could have called his boss. Hey, wait a minute. This weird thing happened. He said, we analyzed this. We didn't. What do? You send a letter to the pension board. You send a letter to the county executive. You send a letter to the board of the chairperson, of the county board. They had all kinds of time before the pension spiking benefits were adopted, Mercer did, to raise their hand and say, no, we didn't analyze this. We don't know if you can afford this. And they didn't do it. My argument to you, and I'm going to continue to use these pension problems as a foil for this discussion, but it's not just about the pension, y'all. This shows you how when in an organization, when you have yes men and women, when you have people that won't do their duty, there's reams of people that could have stood up and stopped it. But when it's a culture of yes and you nod along, or a culture of personal loyalty, or a culture of political expedience, when reams of people fail to do their duty, bad things happen in local government, in state government, or federal government. Keep it locked. We're going to take a little bit of news. I'll be right back. We'll continue to put all of this together for y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn on this windy, rainy, wet Thursday. Not Wednesday.
I almost said Wednesday, too.
I know. It just would have worked so well. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network, you got questions, you got thoughts, opinions. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC. It is Pi Day, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. It got me thinking about cake, having your cake and eat it too, which brought me to public pensions and the upcoming spring election. And I wanted to take the opportunity with a mic in my face for the first time legitimately in my life to talk about public sector pensions, because I have been so angry about this for so long. As many of you know, if you've listened to my show before, I'm the former general counsel for Milwaukee County. My tenure stretched from January of 2017 to March 4th of this year, 7+ years. And the cornerstone of my time was, I had promised myself when I took the job, I will give objective advice and I will tell elected officials what it is that they need to know to try to make the best decisions they can. And that required me telling folks all the time stuff they didn't want to hear. I had my job threatened 4 or 5 times in the first year I was there by various people, because I was telling them stuff they didn't want to hear. But I slept well at night. I'd worry about stuff, of course, because I'm a worrywart. But I knew I was doing my job. I used to joke that if everybody's, or at least one person's, kind of mad at me all the time, I'm probably doing it about right. We're getting some feedback out here. If you want to give feedback, 855-75-CIVIC, that is call or text line, 855-752-4842. Ross from Crawford County. I'm a retired federal healthcare worker. Your points, Maggie, are spot on. The last thing you might want to tell people is that no matter where they are in their career, whether they're working for a company that has a pension or not, or in the public or private sector, save as much money as you can for retirement. Hear, hear, Ross. I ran the city of Milwaukee's 401k plan, not their pension plan, but their 401k plan before coming to Milwaukee County. And when I restructured that entire 401k plan, and when I went in to talk to employees about it, and they were very mistrustful. What are you doing to my 401k plan? Which is entirely driven by how much an employee selects to put into that savings plan. Very suspicious. And I got up there and I told them this: I give you my promise, and it's the no Walmart promise. And what I meant by that is, if you invest in this plan, I promise you, you won't have to get a job as a greeter at Walmart in retirement. Save as much as you can, at least 15%. If you can do tax deferred savings, I'm not giving investment advice, by the way. FINRA, don't call me. SEC, don't call me. Max out your matching contributions. Save, save, save. Couldn't agree with you more. But my point here about the county, and if you're on the lines, Karina, I see you. I'm going to get to you. Hold on. My point here is that the county pension crisis could have been prevented. But literally countless employees who stood to benefit greatly did nothing. And in fact, some of them actively encouraged it. Some of the people that used to work in my office before I got there, I would have fired their butt. And the actuary, Mercer, failed to say, that guy's lying. We never did an analysis of these pension spiking benefits. Guess who else failed? Their outside lawyers that they paid millions to over the course of many years. And they never fired them. This is one of the things I don't get. These people screwed up and they didn't fire Mercer. They didn't fire their outside counsel. They didn't fire these public, some of these internal public employees that screwed up. Many years later, the Milwaukee courthouse caught on fire. And a guy who had responsibility to contract with vendors to help repair the courthouse, okay, he basically got kickbacks. He was criminally convicted. And the county went to take this guy's pension away for abuse of public office, basically fraud. And guess what the court said? You can't take the guy's pension away. And the reason we couldn't do that is because the pension doesn't have a rule that says if you commit a crime in public office that is an abuse of public trust or at something else that's heinous at a certain level, not jaywalking or whatever, even a DUI, that they weren't going to include that. That's not typically included, but something that has to do with your moral fitness to stand in public trust, you won't get a pension. We don't have that rule. Why don't we have that rule? The city of Milwaukee doesn't have that rule. Guess what cops do when they get busted doing something illegal or violating someone's constitutional rights? They file for early retirement or what's called a duty disability retirement, claiming that the stress, the mental stress of the job renders them incapable of doing the job. And because neither the city nor the county have a rule that says if you abuse public trust, you will not get a pension, bad actors, whether they're cops or firefighters or attorneys or budget folks, they get to keep their pension. It doesn't sit right with me. It never has, and it never will. Karina. So nice to see you on my phone lines. How are you? Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Maggie. I love your passion, and you are so true. At least you're so true to yourself. You know, I mean, you can be passionate and about many topics. And, you know, we have a horrible example of it as our former president, Trump. And he is passionate, but he's absolutely delusional. It's nice to see that you are very realistic and true to yourself and true to your job, because you're absolutely right. We don't see the small stuff like you do in working day to day, but it still shows up. Like the last time Robin Bosch tried to strike the deal about UWM, with all the increasing of the salary and everything like that, he put a small, extension or small amendment to the deal saying, yes, we're going to do that. And by the way, we're also going to remodel the dorm for the university. And it's going to give us like 750,000 dollars or something like that. Something essential, right? And before you know it, who owns the properties? He does.
Yeah, that is just like par for the course. And there, to Karina's point, those little inside deals. There are, I'm going to say, at least 100 people that knew of that that remained silent. And listen, I'm not even talking about full whistleblowing. I'm just talking about, like, do your damn job. Speak up. If you don't take these high-profile technical jobs in government, if you don't have the Constitution to do the tough stuff. This is why people get frustrated with government. Because people won't do the hard thing. The way that I always phrase this up, thanks so much, Karina, for the call. I appreciate you listening and calling, and thank you for the kind words. The way that I think about this is, are you willing to sacrifice your personal interests to do the right thing? To put it in really stark terms, are you willing to quit or lose your job rather than to stand idly and silently by while politicians, elected officials do the wrong thing and break their social contract with their constituents? That fundamentally is the problem with Donald Trump. It's not him. The guy, at least in my opinion, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, has some serious mental issues. He's never been in touch with reality like middle-class folks are. He's just not. He grew up rich, lives in a gold tower as a gold toilet. I mean, on and on, right? The reason that he can exist is that people that know better do and say nothing at the minimum, and many of them do and say things to cover it up. That's the con job, right? It's those that know that don't tell the truth. Which, when I think back on January 6th, the people that were at the Capitol, the regular people, the people that are some of my neighbors and friends, or people I know, or maybe people I work with, maybe people listening right now, they didn't believe that they were supporting a dictator. They believed they were fighting for democracy. They believed that in good faith. Now, I think they were wrong, but they believed that because the people that knew lied to them over and over and over again. And the lie got repeated so much that people believed it. And so I think many folks there on January 6th, and please don't angry text or call me, I think they were actually there in good faith. They thought they were saving democracy. And they were, they got to that place because those that knew in government and in the Republican Party, which is not a party anymore, it's the MAGA party, those that knew better either remained silent or capitalized personally benefiting from telling the lie. They were enriching themselves by lying, and they were abusing the trust of the people that believed them. So when I look at pension scandals, when I look at breaches of government trust, that's what it is about. There might be one bad actor at the helm, but one bad actor can't do this. They must have those that will remain silent or those that will actively promote the bad decisions, the bad policy, the bad acting, and the lies that support it. And in the case of Milwaukee County's pension, there was a big old fat lie and no one called it out. The lawyers failed. The actuary failed. The outside lawyers failed. And as a result, the county's paid just under $500 million in extra benefits. And make no mistake, if you're a county employee and you got a backdrop or you purchase more service credit, I don't blame you. It wasn't your fault. You weren't the decision maker. There were other people in chairs and in positions to know, and they did nothing or they supported it. And it's damn shameful. So why, I'm going to bring the county portion of this to a resolution. I want to share with you why this matters so much coming up on April 2nd. And I'm going to call some people out right now on the air. I'm going to name the name that needs to be named. Because this next election on April 2nd includes an office that is up for election in Milwaukee County that I think could either help stabilize Milwaukee County and avoid scandals like this pension crisis, or potentially create a situation where the county could be again plunged into chaos and fiscal instability. One election. You are not going to want to miss me calling this out, because I got to tell you, people, I work too hard and too damn long to help be honest, to be fearless, to tell the truth to elected officials, to give them my best professional advice, to watch one of the elections in Milwaukee County wash all that away. It's got to get called out. Because I won't sleep at night if I don't do that work with you and for you. I'm also going to talk about a little bit about why it's so hard to fix pension problems and who actually can help fix pension problems. Like, who has the power to do something? Because we've talked about if those benefits vest, they're property rights. You can't take those away from employees. And I want to give you a little hope about the county's pension and the city's pension. And there's also a city election that I believe as well will determine whether or not the city of Milwaukee, and by extension, because it is the economic heart of Wisconsin, there is a city election coming up on April 2nd that will, in my opinion, either help Milwaukee move through these next decades with fiscal stability or drive the city underwater, pulling the entire state down. You're not going to want to miss it. The punchline's coming up, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. You got questions, comments, or thoughts, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
Kissy boo-boo.
What's up, Wisconsin? You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show, and I'm taking on the public pensions, trying to break it down. How do we get where we are with the city and county's pension? And it's not technically, the scope here isn't that narrow. My big point is that whenever you see these failings or these scandals in government, I don't care how technical or wonky or massive they seem, what it requires is not just the elected official who's willing to do the lobbying groups bidding or do the bad thing or break democracy in favor of an autocracy. It's not just that one person or number of elected officials. There are always, when these things happen, reams of professionals within government that failed to do their job, failed to stand up and object, and if necessary, quit their damn jobs in protest. I've gotten tired of hearing people pat themselves on the back when they were part of the Trump administration. Oh, well, you know, I was there to help keep the wheels on the bus and to, you know, tamp down his worst tendencies. Well, how's that worked out? You know what would have been helpful? You quitting and talking about it publicly instead of waiting to write a book and make millions off of it. Gross. Now, I promised you before the break that I was going to share with you why there these two elections, there's one at the city and one at the county, that I think are tipping points for the city and county. And I've used the pension as sort of the foil as an example of why these offices matter so much. And why one candidate for each of these offices, one at the city and one at the county, are completely and totally unfit for the job. Period. There's not a reasonable argument that can be made that they're not completely unfit. I'm going to talk about the county first. The election at Milwaukee County that I think will make or break the county's long-term fiscal sustainability and therefore will have impact statewide because the county and the city of Milwaukee are the economic heart of the state. And that is the election for comptroller in Milwaukee County. If you're going, what the hell is a comptroller? It is the person that is in charge of the finances of the county. It's an independently elected office. the candidate that I support, that I think is the appropriately qualified one, that will help bring stability, that would stand up and object if something bad was going to happen, is a current county board supervisor. Her name's Liz Sumner. She's been on the show. She'll be on the show on April 1st, day before the election. Her business degree is from the University of Chicago, one of the best business schools in the nation. Her opponent was the chairperson of the county board for years. And while I was the chief legal officer of Milwaukee County, I was told that he never should have been able to serve on the county pension board at all, and he knew it. And he stayed on the board anyways. In my mind, that makes you unfit to serve as the chief money guy for Milwaukee County. When you sat on the board overseeing the pension that has been plagued by so many scandals, and you were never supposed to be ever permitted to sit on the board at all. And the reason that you were never supposed to be on the board at all is because you were supposed to be a completely independent, objective pension board trustee, which means that neither you nor any member of your family gets a county pension. And his mom gets a pension. She did then, when I found out about it and I asked him to step down privately at first, he said he would step down. Then he changed his mind. So then I had to start talking about it publicly. And he still refused. And the reason that he should have never, that's a conflict of freaking interest. And he knew it. And instead of, with some dignity, stepping down when I pointed it out and then started to talk about it publicly, they attacked me. Which, fine, that was part of my job. Go ahead and attack me. I'll keep saying what I think is true. I'll keep saying what I think is objectively reasonable advice. And I'll keep saying it more loudly. And it took a newly elected chairperson of the county board to forcibly remove him from the pension board. This is the guy that wants to be the county's chief money guy. I mean, what the hell? Get out there and vote. Milwaukee County needs your vote. Liz Sumner needs your vote for Milwaukee County Comptroller. The other election is the flip side of that expert coin. It's the city attorney for the city of Milwaukee. The candidate that I think is appropriately qualified that will help steer the city into greater stability, because there's some rough waters ahead, is current state representative Evan Goyke. He's running against the incumbent from the office. All you need to do to know the case against Evan Goyke's opponent for the city attorney is Google City of Milwaukee City Attorney. There are, it feels like hundreds of articles. It's probably like around 100. The man's lack of legal skill is outmatched, outstripped only by his ego, his lack of accountability, and his lack of managerial skill. He is unfit to be city attorney. The city of Milwaukee, if you're a city resident, they need your vote. They need your vote for city attorney. Get your butts in the voting booths. In my opinion, you should cast a vote for Evan Goyke. If you're a Milwaukee County resident and registered voter, Milwaukee County needs your vote. And in my opinion, that vote should be cast for current supervisor Liz Sumner for county comptroller. Because these technical positions, they ain't sexy, but boy, do they matter. And in Milwaukee County and in the city, they matter to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's just about the pension, y'all. Can you imagine what happens when incompetence takes root, when sycophancy and personal interest trumps the public servant element of what they do? April 2nd, everybody, get out there and vote. Early voting, I believe, has started. I'm going to be joined when we come back after news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour by current Milwaukee County Supervisor Juan Miguel Martinez. So excited to have Juan on the show. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, making pensions sexy, putting the big picture together here on this windy, wet Thursday across the state of Wisconsin. Keep it locked, everybody.
guys out there. Ones that can hang with me and ones that are scared. So baby, I hope that you can prepare.